Hare Krishna. So this morning we will be studying text number 23 from chapter 7 of Canto 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 2, chapter 7, text 23. Chapter 7 is called as Scheduled Incarnations. The verse, text 23, goes as follows. Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha.
Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha.
Ikshva kuvamsa avatirya gunor nideshe. Tishthan vanam sa daitanu jadvi avivesha.
Tishthan vanam sa daitanu avivesha.
Yasmin virudhya dashakandhara attimarchat.
Yasmin virudhya dashakandhara attimarchat.
Asmart. Unto us beginning from Brahma.
Unto us beginning from Brahma.
Down to the insignificant ant.
Down to the insignificant ant.
Prasad.
Prasad.
Causeless mercy.
Causeless mercy.
Sumukha.
Sumukha.
So inclined.
So inclined.
Kalaya.
Kalaya.
With his plenary extensions.
Kalesha.
Kalesha. The Lord of all potencies.
The Lord of all potencies.
Ikshvaku.
Ikshvaku.
Maharaj Ikshvaku.
Maharaj.
In the dynasty of the sun.
Vamse,
family,
Avatirya,
by descending in Guru,
of
the father or spiritual master,
Nideshe,
under the order of
Tishthan,
being situated in
Vanam,
in the forest,
Sa
Daita Anuja.
Along with his wife and younger brother,
Avivesha, entered
Yasmin,
unto whom
Virudhya,
being rebellious,
Dashakandharaha,
Ravana,
who had
10 heads,
Artim,
great distress,
Archat,
achieved.
Translation
by Srila Prabhupada. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished.
Purport.
Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughna, are his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramchandra as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramchandra is the incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshmana is the incarnation of Shankarshan. Bharat is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha. Expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji Sita is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord and she is associated with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramchandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmiji Sita Devi. Lord Ramchandra was ordered by his father Maharaj Dasharath to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances, and the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanji, desired to go with him, and so also his eternal wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and altogether they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramchandra and Ravan, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with all his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being along with her husband, Sri Ramchandra. A materialistic man like Ravan does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravan. Ravan was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom Lanka into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramchandra and defied him by stealing his wife, Sita, Ravana was killed and all his opulence and power were destroyed. Lord Ramchandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha, or master of all opulence. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Vivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So, this very interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada is part of the second canto, chapter 7, text 23. So, before delving into this verse, let's understand What is the context that has led to this discussion? Towards the beginning of the second canto, Maharaj Parikshit has asked a key question to Sukadeva Goswami. What is the key question? What is the duty of a man who is about to die? So this question, it is commonly to be understood that it is referring to all of us who are going to die. It's not that it was referring to Maharaj Parikshit who was going to die. He knew he had 7 days. We don't know if we have 7 hours. So, in short, Maharaj Parikshit's question was not only for himself, it was for all of us. What is the duty of a man about to die? So, Sukadeva Goswami, in the earlier chapters, tells him about the essence of the activity which he needs to do as a person who is about to die, which is Shravanam and Kirtanam. Constantly hearing about the Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami emphasizes the point that remembering Lord Vishnu at the time of death is the only preparation that you can do for death. There is no other thing, nothing else is a greater duty of a man who is about to die. Now, if we have to remember the Lord, we need to have enough information about the Lord. We cannot keep on meditating on some entity without having any information about that entity. Then, if we don't have any information, then what do we meditate on? This is the problem with the Mayavadis. They talk about meditation, but they don't know what to meditate on. So, they keep a candle and meditate on the candle. How long can you meditate on the candle? There are no pastimes which the candle has performed. Right? It is available for $1 in the shop. So what kind of meditation can you do on a candle? Right. So therefore we need to have enough information, and by hearing such information about the Lord, then Rati has to develop within the heart. Love has to develop by constantly hearing about the Lord. And then that meditation which is done with that feeling of affection and love towards the Lord, then that is what is called as Sharavanam. That is what is called as Smaranam. So, Sukadeva Goswami tells him that we cannot remember if we don't have enough information. So you must hear about the Lord. And Maharaj Parikshit is also an inquisitive hearer. So Maharaj Parikshit asks more and more and more questions on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now as he gets answers from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, his love for Lord Krishna is naturally awakened. And when one's love for Lord Krishna is awakened, then one again wants to hear more and more and more. Now as a part of his inquisitiveness, he asks Sukadeva Goswami to instruct him about how the Lord creates, maintains and destroys this material universe, this whole Srishti. So chapter 5 and chapter 6 of this canto, second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, talk quite a bit about the creation process, where it talks about how Lord Brahma appeared on the lotus flower, how after appearing he did not know what to do. He looked left, he looked right, he looked up, he looked down, he didn't know what to do. And then he had to perform tapasya. He did astral travel to find out the source of the stem of the lotus flower, but he could not. And Prabhupada writes, Lord God cannot be understood by astral travel. So he sits there and does tapasya, meditates on the Lord. And then Lord appears and gives him the knowledge of sarga and visarga, the primary creation and the secondary creation. Also in those chapters, the Purusha avatara and the Guna avataras of the Lord are explained. So there is Vishnu Tattva on one hand. The origin is Vishnu Tattva. Krishna expands as Balram. Balram expands as Narayan, the four Chaturvyuhas, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. From that Sankarshan, who is called as Mula Sankarshan, comes another set of Chaturvyuha. Again Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. That second Sankarshan is called as Mahasankarshan. And from that Sankarshan comes Mahavishnu. So So up until that point, it is called as Vishnu Tattva. From Mahavishnu onwards, the process of material creation begins. So Mahavishnu comes down and he manifests as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He creates universes from the pores of his body. In each such universe, there is one Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is having a stem, and on that stem comes Brahmaji. Also, Mahavishnu expands as Sirodakshaya Vishnu, as a part of the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. Okay. So these avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they are called as Guna avatars, because Brahma is in charge of Guna of passion. Vishnu is in charge of Guna of goodness, and Mahesh is in charge of the mode of ignorance. So they are Guna avatars. Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and also Sirodakshaya Vishnu, they are also called as Purusha avataras, because they are the original creator, the Adi Purush, like that. Okay. Now, while it is important for all of us, especially as practicing devotees in ISKCON and in the mood of Goshti Anandis, where our duty, our primary service towards Srila Prabhupada is to go out and preach the message of bhakti to the entire universe. So therefore, for that purpose, we need to understand these metaphysical aspects of creation. However, as a devotee progresses more and more in spiritual life, then the metaphysical aspects are not enough to keep the devotee happy. What ultimately gives true satisfaction to the devotee's heart is ras, or mellow, loving relationships. And for that, the devotee hankers to hear about the leelas of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, the interactions of the Lord, the loving interactions of the Lord with his intimate devotees. So it's not only enough to hear about Purusha avatar and Guna avatar, it's also required to hear about what is called as the Leela avatar of the Lord. So as Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit, and as Maharaj Parikshit is hearing that message from him, love for God is constantly being generated in his heart. And as a part of that love, he goes on to request Sukadeva Goswami, now that you have told me about these Purusha avataras, etc., can you please tell me about the Leela avataras of the Lord, or the scheduled incarnations of the Lord? So this is a question which he puts towards the end of the earlier chapter, chapter 6. And as a part of that, in this chapter, then Sukadeva Goswami starts instructing him and giving him information about all the scheduled incarnations of the Lord. So, we have already had discussions on various Leela avataras up until verse 22, which culminated in Parshuram yesterday. And today, this particular verse deals with, specifically with one of the most important incarnations of the Lord, as Lord Shri Shri Ramchandra. Shri Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki. So Srila Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport here. And in this purport, he gives out several important messages for all of us. The first message that Srila Prabhupada gives us is that Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada establishes that very clearly here. What is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Aishwarishya samagrasya viryasya isa shriya jnana vairagyoschaiva shannam bhaga itingana. Person who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to have all the six opulences in full. Name, fame, wealth, beauty, power and renunciation. Despite having all this, he must be very renounced, not proud of it. So a person who has got all these qualities in full, only such a person can be considered as Bhagavan. And Lord Ramchandra had all these qualities in full. So Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mata Prabhu, you need a chair. You don't have a chair today? Can someone? Thank you. So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing here that Lord Ramchandra is not an ordinary mortal. And Prabhupada writes, Paritranaya sadhunam. Rupal quotes that verse. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanin bhavati bharata. And then he says, Paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashayate duskrishtam. Dharma samstha pradarthaya sambhavam yoga yuge. So Lord Ramchandra, in fact not only Lord Ramchandra, any incarnation of the Lord essentially comes, descends by the Lord's own sweet will for a specific purpose. So Lord Ramchandra also came down to re-establish order in this society. And mainly he came to establish what is it to be an ideal human being. Maryada Purushottam. Ideal human being. And he came in a human form. Of course, not a human form made of material elements, but he came in a human-like form, in a spiritual form. By his own sweet will. And by his own will, he subjected himself to human-like situations. By his own will. That's very important. And by his own will, he displayed human-like emotions and sentiments. He behaved as an ideal son to his parents. He behaved as an ideal husband to his wife. He behaved as an ideal king to his subjects. Now the Mayavadis do not understand this. That is the problem. The Mayavadis, Srila Prabhupada writes, do not understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and pastimes. Therefore, the Mayavadis comment that poor Lord Ramchandra, he also had to suffer karma. This is karma lok. Bhagavan himself, when he comes, he also cannot escape karma. Such is the power of karmic effects. Now, this is the commentary they give. So, this is completely nonsense, Srila Prabhupada says. Because these Mayavadis, they are known as Mayavadis because they think Maya is higher than Bhagavan. That Maya can trap Bhagavan also under its and subordinate Bhagavan. That is why they are called as Mayavadis. They subordinate Bhagavan to Maya by saying that the Supreme Brahman, that impersonal, which is actually Bhagavan, which does not have a form, when it comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, it assumes many forms. Some form you can call it as Krishna, some form you can call it as Ram, some form you can call it as Ganesh, call it Shiva, call it whatever. Similarly, you fools, you people are also that Brahman. Because you have come in contact with material energy, you have forgotten that you are God. This is the commentary they give. This is utter nonsense. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada upfront reminds us here, Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't forget that. He is not an ordinary human being. So he is re-emphasizing that. So Bhagavan, Lord Ramchandraji is Bhagavan himself, Swayam Bhagavan. Now one aspect of Bhagavan is that Bhagavan is non-different from his name. Right? If you take the name of Michael Jackson, he is different from his name. But Lord Ramchandra is the same as his name. The Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, everything is one. They are identical with each other. Nama Chantamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Nitya Mukta Purva Shuddha Abhinnatvam Nama Namino. Non-different. So Lord Ramchandra's name is not ordinary. It's not like calling any name. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his books, you cannot say water, 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 water and then expect that your thirst be quenched. You have to take water and then drink it. Right? But you can still say Krishna, 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 Krishna or Ram, 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 Ram and then everything else will manifest in your life. So definitely this is not an ordinary name. Right? There is a pastime of a hunter whose name was Ratnakar. Ratnakar was a ruthless hunter. So he used to go on killing animals, left, right, center, without thinking. One day, as he was engaged in this occupation of his, he saw a very transcendental, effulgent personality in front of him. Who was that personality? Narad Muni. Okay. Narad Muni came in front of him. So Narad Muni asked him, what are you doing? He says that, no, I'm earning my livelihood. Like many of us say, after doing Ugra Karma. I'm earning my livelihood. So he said, what kind of earning is this? Don't you know that you'll get sinful reactions for this? No, no, but no, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my family. Oh, is it? You're doing it for your family? Okay. Then do one thing. Go and ask your family if they are willing to partake a share of these sinful reactions. So he says, certainly, why not? I'll go. I have no doubts about it that they will. So when he goes and asks his family, he's disappointed. They say, sorry, thank you for your earnings, but yeah. See you next time. So he's disappointed. And he's disappointed and he's shocked that the family for who I worked so hard, this is what they give me at the end of the day. They are not willing to share the reactions, but they're only wanting to enjoy the fruits of that money. So therefore, he gets a sudden realization. And he asks Narad Muni now, he's completely despondent and he's feeling ashamed. So he asks Narad Muni, please tell me, what should I do now? I've got so much of sinful reaction, having hunted and hunted in my life. So much of Ugra Karma sins I have accumulated, what should I do? So Narad Muni sees that this person right now, in the mood that he is, with the kind of heavy karma that he has got, you know, he cannot chant the holy name of Lord Rama as it is. So therefore, but because this person was always associated with killing and death of animals, I will give him the name as Mara to chant. In Hindi, Mara means, Sanskrit means gone. Mara, death. So he tells him, you chant Mara, 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 like that. So then he starts chanting Mara, 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 like that. Because Narad Muni knows that when you chant that, you will be chanting Rama, 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 like that. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came and he gave the mantra, Mahamantra the other way. Traditionally in the Vedas, it's Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. So because anyone in Kali Yuga can chant, because the Vedic scholars were saying that Ati Bado Shukruti says Nanera Samay. Govinda Pundarikaksha Nama Uchchare. So they say that this holy name should be chanted Ati Bado Shukruti. So you should have a lot of Shukruti. You should be born in a Brahminical family. And then in the morning time, in the banks of the Ganges only you can chant this holy name. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, thank you very much. He changed the name. The reverse order he gives. Eventually it's the same thing we are chanting. Right? So like that, Narad Muni also asked him to chant the other way. Now, Ratnakar was such a sincere repentant in one sense. He was so sincerely repentant that he sat and started chanting Mara, 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 Mara for years and years and years. Just like Hiranyakashipu was chanting. Of course, Hiranyakashipu chanting was the material desire. Ratnakar is chanting with for atonement and for developing bhakti. So as he was chanting, but the externals were very similar. Anthill started growing on him. You've seen that picture of a yogi with matted hair and everything. So he was chanting like that and he was completely oblivious to what was going around him. To such an extent that after many years, when Narad Muni passed by that way, he heard this. Mara, 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 Mara. And then he opened it and then saw that his disciple Ratnakar is chanting. And Ratnakar was completely effulgent. Was completely absorbed in the holy names of Lord Ramchandra. So Narad Muni gave him a blessing at that point in time that you will be responsible to write the famous epic called as Ramayana in future. And Ratnakar was born as Valmiki. So that is the power of the name. Abhinnatvam Nama Namino. That is the power of chanting Lord Ramchandra's name, that you personally get his mercy so you can write or talk about him. So what to speak of devotees who are chanting every day? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Every day we chant so many names of Lord Ramchandra. Someone was asking me the other day, when we say Ram, should we think of Balram? Should we think of Krishna? Should we think of Parshuram? Should we think of Lord Ramchandra? So we can think of Balram, we can think of Lord Krishna also as Raman, a person who enjoys as Ram, or we can also think of Lord Ramchandra. There is no difference in the power, but obviously the ras is different. From a rasa tattva point of view, it is different. But from the point of view of potency and power of the holy name to cleanse, it doesn't matter who you think of. All are equally powerful. Except there is one difference, that we have to understand that Parshuram is not in the same category of Lord Ramchandra or Balramji. Why? Because Parshuram is not the supreme personality of Godhead. Parshuram comes under the category of not of Leela Avatar. He is also coming as Leela Avatar, but predominantly we have to understand that he is a Shakti Avesh Avatar. He is specifically vested with a potency to annihilate, to kill the miscreants. So he is a Shakti Avesh Avatar. So he's not in the same category. But Rama's name chanted in it, thinking of whatever will still yield its name. That is the power of Rama. So the Lord's name is very powerful. It's not ordinary. That is one aspect of Bhagavan. The same aspect also manifested in Ramayana when they wanted to build the Ram Setu bridge. Simply by writing the name Ram, 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 Ram in the stones were started floating, they never sank. And then they were able to cross the ocean, the monkeys. So that is the power of Lord Ramchandra's name. So that is about Naam of the Lord. In terms of Roop, Lord Ramchandra was second to none. It is mentioned that if you meditate on even any one limb, if you see any one limb of Lord Ramchandra, then the mind can never take it off in the entire existence of the soul. Such is the beauty, captivating beauty of Lord Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan. Beauty personified, Sita Devi herself was attracted to Lord Ramchandra. The most, she is the emblem of chastity, Sita Devi. She herself was attracted to Lord Ramchandra. Such was his beauty. Talking about guna of Lord Ramchandra, the qualities of Lord Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra is guna personified. Who can debate that? Humility and renunciation personified was Lord Ramchandra. Respect and obedience to elders. Maryada Purushottam. This is what he taught us in his pastimes. His father, Dasharatha Maharaj, just to fulfill the promise that Dasharatha Maharaj gave to Kaikeyi, without even thinking twice, he could renounce that kingdom and go to the forest for 14 years. Lord Ramchandra was loyal and faithful to his consort, which is a big lesson for all of us in Kali Yuga. There is no question of first partner, second partner, partner in the year of taxation. Was she your full partner throughout the taxation year? No. He set the highest ideal standards. Once you marry, that's it. Then there is no question of divorce and, I can't get along with this guy, Oh, it's okay, take it easy. Devamrit Maharaj was saying the other day. Take it easy. Are you sure? Not like that. Once you marry, means you have to be there. Right? So Lord Ramchandra taught us this. Loyal and faithful, the consort. Eka Patni Vrata. Always protective of those who take his shelter. Towards the end, actually, Vibhishan comes to take shelter of Lord Ramchandra. So even the Vanaras, they caution. Hang on. He is the brother of that Ravan. Don't trust him. But Lord Ramchandra says, anyone who has surrendered to me, I will protect him. So he promises that. Bhakta Vatsala, Lord Ramchandra. Highly impartial personality. He did not even spare his wife Sita when she had to be sent for the Agni Pariksha, for the test of fire. So no partiality at all. Completely impartial king who won the trust of the entire praja. His idealness is sometimes very difficult for us to accept from the mundane moral platform. Very, very difficult to understand that. Therefore, many unscrupulous authors have written so much of bogus commentaries, maligning Lord Ramchandra. How can he do it? To his wife, render for Agni Pariksha. Which we will discuss now, in a few minutes down the line. We have to understand that in the proper perspective. So, Naam, Roop, Gun, everywhere he is excelled. And Leela, his birth, as we mentioned before, is not a result of some karma. We are all born because of our karma. But Lord Ramchandra is not, his birth is not decided by Durga Devi or someone. So, he, what is that called as? Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deha Upapattaye. Where under the jurisdiction of the demigods, based on the karma of living entities, then they take a body in this material world. He doesn't fall under that category. Right? So his birth is not karmic. It's entirely based on his own free will. It's a manifestation in that sense. It cannot be even called as a birth. Jay and Vijay, the Lord wanted to have Raudra Ras with Jay and Vijay. So Jay and Vijay manifested as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. They wanted to fight. So the whole pastime was enacted because of that one desire. Not only that, the Lord's leelas are not discrete incidents. They have a continuity. So Jay Vijay continued even during Lord Krishna's time as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And of course in Mahaprabhu's pastime, they came as Jagai and Madhai. Even the sages in Naimisharanya who wanted to marry Lord Ramchandra, and Lord Ramchandra said, no, I have only one wife. Next time. And then when Lord Krishna advented, then 16,108 wives. He accepted all of them. The monkeys also had a continuity. Even today they are in Vrindavan. So, the Lord's pastimes are not ordinary. They are not discrete incidents. They have a continuum. They are eternal in that sense. Nor is the suffering of the Lord or the lamentation which the Lord is manifesting, Sita, Sita, when he is saying Sita, Sita, it's not like a mundane person. It's not like the Hollywood or Bollywood hero calling for the heroine. It's not like that. Right? It's not a mundane lamentation. The Mayavadis don't understand this. So they say Daridra Narayan. Therefore they call everyone as Narayan. Narayana, hey Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. They call everyone. Externally you will feel, oh, what saintly personalities. They call everyone as Narayan. But actually they are not seeing the Paramatma inside your heart. And therefore, addressing the Paramatma as Narayan. They are actually addressing you as Narayan. Okay. Saying that you are also suffering. Similarly, Lord Ramchandra also suffered. Daridra Narayan. In this material world. Again, re-emphasizing the fact that Maya can make even Bhagavan dance. Like that. So it's a completely bogus concept. So, Srila Prabhupada is hammering this point that Lord's Leela, this is Lord's Leela and he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not because of karma that he has come down. Next, Srila Prabhupada focuses on the personalities in his purport, the brothers, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna. Prabhupada says that they are Vishnu Tattvas. In the sense they are coming down from Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. Lord Ram himself has come from Vasudev. Krishna expands as Balaram. Balaram expands as Narayan and the Chaturvyuha incarnations. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. So Vasudev, in the Vasudev line it is Lord Ramchandra. Then Sankarshan, Balaram, Aniruddha is Bharat and Pradyumna is Shatrughna. So, the brothers of Lord Ramchandra are not also ordinary personalities. And next, Srila Prabhupada focuses on Mother Sita and says that she is also not an ordinary personality. Sita Devi is Shakti Tattva herself, starting from Srimati Radharani. Shakti Tattva herself, she is Shakti herself. She is the pleasure potency, the Alladini Shakti of the Lord. In that sense, Prabhupada is highlighting here, is comparing Sita Devi with Durga Devi. In her sense, Sita Devi's position is much higher than the position of Goddess Durga. No doubt, Goddess Durga is an eternal servant of the Lord. But Sita Devi's position, in Shakti Tattva is much higher. The Aladini Shakti of the Lord has the power to control Bhagavan. Whereas in the Brahma Samhita it is written that Durga Devi conducts herself according to the will of the Lord. It's reverse, if you see. Right? So, tattva-wise, it is very different. Shakti Tattva and Mahamaya. And Prabhupada emphasizes that Sita Devi is the object of worship for all jivas. She is not an object of enjoyment for the jivas, which is a mistake that Ravana did. He tried to enjoy Sita for himself. And it is mentioned often that Sita Devi cannot be touched, therefore, because she is a goddess of fortune herself, she cannot be touched by any mundane personality. It is not possible at all. It is not possible at all for a person like Ravan to touch, come anywhere near Sita Devi. It's not possible. So, to understand this, we need to understand the Ramayana pastime. And how Sita Devi was abducted then by Lord, by Ravana. How she was abducted. If Sita Devi cannot be touched, how come that pastime was possible? So this goes back to a king whose name was Rathadwaj. I am very poor by names, so I have noted down. There was a king called Rathadwaj. This Rathadwaj was a highly, very, very wealthy king. Reason being that he was an ardent devotee of Goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So wealth was pouring on his kingdom. And he was a genuine devotee of Goddess Lakshmi. Not one of those who go on just before Dashara and then who worship so that the Samvat trading, or what is it, on the stock exchange can happen nicely. Not that kind of a devotee. He was genuinely a devotee of Vishnu as a consort of Lord Narayan. So, automatically wealth was a byproduct in the kingdom. Now, King Rathadwaj, over a period of time, Ratastha Shakti fell down to thinking, to becoming very complacent about the worship of Goddess Lakshmi. So he said, oh, Goddess Lakshmi will anyway, now she is coming, she is here, so why need to worship her? No. He thought like that. Now, as he thought like that, his downfall started and slowly he lost all his wealth and his kingdom. His subjects also lost all their wealth. So the whole kingdom was in poverty. Now, King Rathadwaj had two children by the name Kushadwaj and Dharmadwaj. So they realized that whatever our father has done, that's his folly, and we must do something to rectify the situation. So they started ardently worshipping Goddess Lakshmi in a mood of atonement. Not that Lakshmi has gone, now money has gone, how to bring the money back. It was not a business development plan. Right? It was genuine, sincere affection for Goddess Lakshmi as the goddess of fortune, as the consort of Narayana. So much so, they worshipped Goddess Lakshmi that she was highly pleased with their devotion. And then she came to Kushadwaj and told him that I will advent myself as your daughter. Okay? And then, as time passed, Kushadwaj's wife gave birth to a beautiful daughter. This daughter was so special that since she was born, she started chanting the Vedic hymns. She didn't need Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav course. She could chant everything right from start. So adept was she at reciting the Vedic hymns that her father, Kushadwaj, named her as Vedavati because she was reciting the Vedas so nicely. Now, Vedavati, since childhood, had one desire, pretty similar to one of the Alvars called as Andal. What was Andal's desire? People from South India will know. She had only one desire, that if I marry someone, I'll never marry an ordinary person. And everyone was ordinary. Every who apart from Lord Vishnu is, he's not ordinary. He's the only non-ordinary person. So he said, I'll never marry an ordinary mortal. Andal said that. And then finally she married Lord Ranganathar in Sri Rangam. Like that. So like that, Vedavati also pretty much set up her mind that if I am going to marry anyone, I will only marry the Supreme Personality of God, Vishnu. I cannot be the consort of anyone else. Only Narayana. Like that. So in order to beget the mercy of Lord Vishnu, she went to a forest called as Pushkar and she started meditating in that forest to beget Lord Vishnu as her husband. Now as she was meditating, coincidentally at that time, Ravan was traveling in his chariot called as Pushpak. So he saw, and when he saw this Vedavati, he was attracted by her extreme beauty. So immediately he descended. He forgot where he was going, came down there and came to Vedavati and started glorifying her, glorifying her beauty and telling her, what are you doing here? I am Ravan, I have a big kingdom, come. Purushabha, desire to impress the opposite sex. So Ravana was fully demonstrating that. So then Vedavati told him, no, actually, the only person that I am going to marry is Vishnu. Thank you for your offer. Now, obviously, Ravana's ego was titillated. So, Ravana got upset with her and he grabbed Vedavati by the hair. He tried to forcefully take her. What Vedavati did, by her own power, she cut off that hair so that he could not touch her anymore. And then she told Ravan that you have done the biggest mistake of your life by touching me. And for this sin, I will burn myself right now so you cannot touch me at all. Not only that, but in the next lifetime, I will be the cause of your death. Okay. So then Vedavati self-immolated herself by her own mystic power and reduced herself to ashes. It is said that Ravan was so attracted that he took the ashes also with him. This is the height of possessiveness. Sometimes we see this also in Bollywood movies. The height of possessiveness of the hero. Or not hero, the villain. He is not the hero here. Okay. So, when, now come to Ram Leela. When Sita Devi decided to cross that Lakshman Rekha, which was drawn, the line which Lakshman drew for her and said that don't cross this till we come back, because she got attracted to that deer and Lord Ramchandra said, okay, I'll go and fetch that deer for you. So, and then since Lord Ramchandra did not return, Lakshmanji also went. Lord Ramchandra told, you be here, don't go away from here. But he said, no, I'll go because something might have happened to him. Let me go. But he told Sita not to cross this line and then Ravan comes. And then he says that I'm a Brahmana, you're not even coming out. No, you have to give me some alms. And then the whole pastime, And then Sita Devi comes. And then Ravan grabs her and takes her in his chariot. Now it is mentioned that at that point in time, when Sita Devi crossed that, actually Sita Devi was taken back by Agni Dev and replaced with Vedavati. This Vedavati was that person who actually Ravan took with him. And Vedavati went all the way to Lanka, stayed there, and then when Lord Ramchandra went back and got back Sita, within bracket Vedavati, then she was given Agni Pariksha, or the fire test. And then when Vedavati entered the fire, Agnidev took Vedavati back and released Sita. It was like that. Okay. So therefore Prabhupada says, Sita Devi cannot be touched by any ordinary person at all. And Vedavati, being the pure devotee, she did not mind going through all this to attain Lord Vishnu as her consort. Now what had happened was, Vedavati actually had already an inkling of this. When she was in that mountain, when she was meditating, before Ravana came, there was a celestial voice which came and told her that in this lifetime you cannot attain Lord Vishnu. But in the next to next lifetime, you will become his consort. And in the next lifetime, she was in one sense his consort, but again, she was not. Right? But in the next lifetime, the same Vedavati came as the consort of Lord Srinivasa Perumal in Tirupati as Padmavati. So, if you go to Tirupati, you will see Lord Venkatachalapati, Lord Srinivasa Perumal, Lord Venkatesh. Okay? So, he has got two consorts, Lakshmi and Padmavati. So, the same Vedavati came as Padmavati and then she was united with the Lord. That is also a very interesting pastime. So, it is mentioned that when the sages were having a doubt as to out of the three trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who is the greatest? Who should be worshipped? The sages had that question. So, Narad Muni, they went and consulted Narad Muni. So, Narad Muni said, you consult Bhrigu Muni. He is an authority in this subject. No? Okay. Now, when they went to Bhrigu Muni, Bhrigu Muni said, okay, let me test all the three of them. So, Bhrigu Muni went and tested Brahma and Shiva. He did not get even proper response. So, he got very upset with Brahma. And he cursed Brahma that there will be no temples for you in this world. Okay. Then he went to Lord Shiva. And then again, he didn't get proper response. So, he cursed Lord Shiva, saying that you will not be worshipped as Lord Shiva. You will be worshipped in the Lingam form, which is a representation of Lord Shiva, not in your own form, like that. So, Lord Shiva, Shiva Lingam is worshipped, like that. And then when he came to Mahavishnu, all of you know what happened. Again, you know, Mahavishnu was, you know, Lakshmi was massaging his feet and Mahavishnu was taking rest. So, you know, he got very upset with Mahavishnu and went and kicked Mahavishnu on the chest. Now, Bhrigu Muni had a third eye on his feet. Now, don't ask me how. I don't know. At the end of the class, when I ask questions, don't ask me this one. Okay. He had a third eye on his foot. So, with that, he kicked Mahavishnu's chest. And when he kicked, Mahavishnu did not obviously feel anything. No? But he felt compassion for Bhrigu Muni. And he said, I hope that you haven't had a hairline fracture or whatever on your leg. Must have inconvenienced your feet. And then when he heard that, he saw the humility of Mahavishnu. And therefore, it is mentioned that the third eye on his foot was his false ego. And that false ego got smashed when he kicked that and when Mahavishnu responded in this manner. Immediately he felt remorse. He said, what a great offense I have done. I have kicked Lord Narayana in the chest. Now, what happened was, where does Lord Goddess Lakshmi reside? Eternally in the chest of Lord Narayana. So she could not tolerate this. She said, how dare he do this to my husband? So, after he kicked, she decided to leave from that place. So, she left the chest. And the Lord also, in separation from Lakshmiji, left Vaikuntham. Now, please understand, all this is transcendental pastime. So, if he left Vaikuntham, don't ask me that, who did he hand over during his annual leave? It's not like that. It's not like anything of this world. Okay? Just like Lord Krishna leaves Vrindavan, but he doesn't leave Vrindavan also. So, it's like that. So, he left and Lakshmi Devi also left. This is for a pastime purpose. So, he expanded himself, came down to this material world. So, then Lord Vishnu came down to the modern day place called as Tirupati, like that, around that place, Tirumala. And then he resided inside an ant hill. He took shelter under an ant hill. Okay. Now, Lord Brahmaji and Lord Shiva, they knew that Lord Vishnu has advented here. So, immediately they wanted to come and serve him. So, every day, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva took the form of a cow and a calf and used to come to that ant hill. And from their udder, they used to give milk to Lord Vishnu. Now, the sun god saw this. And the sun god went and told Lakshmiji that your husband is there, inside the ant hill. Now, he's Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are taking care of them as a cow and a calf. So, why don't you do something about it? So, Lakshmi Devi comes down as a cowherdess. And then what she does, she takes this cow and calf and goes, at that time the Chola dynasty was ruling. So, she goes to the Chola king And then she tells the king, why don't you, buy this cow and calf and keep them under your shelter. They'll give you milk in your kingdom, like that. So the Chola king accepts, like that. Now, what happens is that this cow and calf, they are unleashing all their milk on the anthill. So the king's wife realizes that there's no return on investment. They are not giving any milk at all to the kingdom. Every time we milk, nothing is coming out. But they hear that something is going on, that milk is going somewhere else. So they send a cowherd man to find out what is happening. So the cowherd man follows the cow and the calf and goes to that anthill where the milk is being delivered. And then he sees that. And as he sees that, the cowherd man, he gets very angry. And he takes an axe and he throws that axe. And that comes and hits Lord Vishnu. And he starts bleeding like that. And then when Vishnu realizes that he has done that, he gives, immediately as he sees Vishnu bleeding, the cowherd man, he leaves his body. But because this is he's participating in the Leela of the Lord, it's not like a karmic reaction to him for his offenses. He's a participant in the Leela. So the Lord gives a blessing to this person, to this cowherd boy, that your entire vamsh lineage will be engaged in opening the doors every day and waking me up in the morning. Like that. So that is what is the parampara going on right now. So then by the time the news reaches the Chola king, and then he comes and sees that, this is what has happened, and he sees the blood smeared, cow and calf, like that. So he comes to understand that there is something deeper going on here, and then he comes and sees Vishnu himself. He has darshan of Mahavishnu. So the Lord tells him that in the next lifetime, you can atone for your sins. In the next lifetime, you will be born as Akash Raj, and then you will atone for your sins when you give your hand of your daughter to me, like that. And so Akash Raj is born in the next lifetime, and Akash Raj again is an ideal king performing a lot of yagyas for the appeasement of the Lord. After performing one such yagya, when he is tilling the ground, then from the ground emerges a beautiful baby on a golden lotus flower. Because of that, Padma means what? Lotus. So the baby is named as Padmavati. So the name Vedavati, who was there, is now born as Padmavati to Akashraj. Like that. Okay. And the Lord also, Mahavishnu, incarnates as Srinivasa Perumal, as Lord Venkatachalapati of Tirupati. He manifests as Lord Srinivas. And then Padmavati is there, Lord Srinivas is there, they don't know each other, obviously, in the pastime. And then what happens one day when Padmavati is sitting in the forest along with her associates, then there is a wild elephant which comes there, and they are all very scared. But then Mahavishnu advances, Srinivasa Perumal advances there, and when he comes in front of the wild elephant, which is about to kill everyone, the wild elephant suddenly sees Srinivasa Perumal and then becomes shant. And then pays obeisances to the Lord and then goes away. And Padmavati, when she sees this, she understands this is not an ordinary personality. So the Lord reveals himself to her. And the Lord is also very attracted to Padmavati. So he cannot stop thinking of Padmavati. So when Padmavati returns to the palace, she falls very sick. And when the Lord Srinivasa comes to know that she is very sick, he takes the form of a fortune teller and then goes to her and sees her hand and tells her that, oh, okay, the cause of your problem is that you want to marry Mahavishnu, and you should only marry him, by the way. No, don't change your mind. Okay. So in that pastime, the Lord talks to her, and then eventually the Lord manifests to Akashraj, and then the marriage of Mahavishnu and Padmavati is solemnized. In that marriage also, the Lord does not have money for the marriage. So he takes a loan from Kuver. Okay, he takes a loan. And even today, it is said that Srinivasa Perumal is repaying that loan. You can imagine such an opulent marriage. No? That loan will never be repaid. No? Maximum what? You can spend 10 crores, 50 crores, right? Rupees. here in a marriage. Even the Ambanis will spend. But you can talk about Srinivasa Perumal Kalyanam, you know. So much of things that eternally that loan is going on. And therefore, people go to Tirupati and then put money there to help Lord Vishnu in repaying that loan. Okay. And because of that, Tirupati is the wealthiest, is the highest revenue earner, in that sense. So we have to understand that, coming back to Sita Devi, Sita Devi is not an ordinary person. So it was Vedavati and then it was Padmavati. So we discussed that past time. So Srila Prabhupada says that Sita Devi is the object of worship for all the jivas. She cannot be touched by any mundane personality. So we understand Yagni Pariksha also now. Towards the end of his purports, okay, we'll go for another 5 minutes and stop. Okay. Towards the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives us some valuable lessons from the Ramayana. Srila Prabhupada mentions that Ravana, what does he represent? Ravana represents our violation of the Isavashya principle. Isavashya idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Tena tyaktena gunjita magrida kashya svidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate is owned by the Lord. And one must only accept one's quota. And one tries to take more than one's quota, then he gets into the karma bandhan. He has to suffer. So he represents the, Ravana represents the demonic tendency within all of us. He represents the Purusha Bhav, the tendency to covet more than what is ordained for us. Just like Gajendra, Kesha Prabhu in the Bhakti Vedanta class was explaining to about the Gajendra pastime, which we have started studying this year. It is mentioned how Gajendra, as the elephant, is walking very proudly with all his female consorts and his children, as if he is their protector, and then goes to the forest to drink that water. And then he is caught by the crocodile. And after he is caught by the crocodile, he is looking at his family. Will anyone save me? And nobody is able to save him anyway. And the family also realizes that Gajendra was not really the original Purusha, like that. But still, till we are in danger in life, till material nature gives us a slap, we walk around with an open chest, thinking that we are something great. And then time and nature have a way of bringing everyone down to his knees, like that. So Ravan represents that false Purusha Bhav, the desire to enjoy. And Srila Prabhupada has cautioned all of us against developing these desires for anyone who is other than our wife. If someone wants to accept grihasthashram, yes, go ahead, accept it. Marry a chaste woman and be loyal to her. Do not then covet more than that, like that. So this, through this Ramayana, the main lesson for us, one of these main lessons from this pastime, is that to get rid of this Purusha Bhava. And Srila Prabhupada has given us a wonderful formula. Just like Lakshman gave that Lakshman Rekha to Sita Ji, saying that don't cross this, otherwise you will be in danger. You will be caught by Ravan. Srila Prabhupada has also given us a Lakshman Rekha. What is the Lakshman Rekha Prabhupada has given? 4 regulative principles and 16 rounds. So as long as we are following the process, following 4 regulative principles and chanting minimum 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then we are also eternally under the protection of Lord Ramchandra. So this is the application for all of us. Stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments. Vasudev does not expand as Balram. Krishna expands as Balram. Balram expands as the Chaturvyuha, as Vasudev, Sankarsana, and Yudhabhidya.
And from then the Narayana?
No. Balram expands as Narayan. From Narayan comes the Chaturvyuha.
Okay.
Then the Chaturvyuha, from there second Chaturvyuha, and then from there Mahavishnu.
Maybe it's an expansion of Narayana.
Balaram explains as Narayan, yeah. When you say normal understanding is from which scripture is normal?
From Bhagavatam.
Adishesha is an incarnation of Balaram. Yes, we agree.
Narayana comes from Balaram. Where's the reference?
The reference is in Srila Prabhupada's books only. If you read the first canto, third chapter, you will find the reference there. Prabhupada gives in his purports. It's called as after the divinity and divine. What is that? Second chapter is what? Divinity and divine service. And then the third chapter is what? First canto, third chapter. Krishna is the source of all incarnation, something like that, I think. In that, you will find all this in purport. Srila Prabhupada explains this. But as much, to be just fair to your question, in ISKCON I have heard two versions. Okay, I have also heard that Balaram expands directly as the Chaturvyuha. And somewhere elsewhere, I've also heard that Balaram expands as Narayan and Narayan expands as the Chaturvyuha. So both these versions I've heard. But it doesn't matter. Both must be true.
And one more question on Rama's question. Like, generally people will have two issues, like avoiding Rama's and Sita's and then the other one is why did he kill Vali from the... So we
counter that with the proper... Okay, I'm not an authority on Rama. So I cannot answer that question. But the first part I can little bit address. You know, Lord Ramchandra sent her for Agni Pariksha simply because Lord Ramchandra was completely confident of Sita's chastity. So he knew that she will come unscathed. So that was his confidence in his consort. Okay, that is one. But at the same time, even after Sita Devi came back from the Agni Pariksha, then what happened was, I think there was a, once when Lord Ramchandra was ruling the kingdom, then there was one washerman who was there. And the washerman's wife had left the washerman. And then she wanted to come back to the husband. And then the washerman told his wife, I am not like Lord Ramchandra, that you go wherever you want and I will accept you. And when this news reached Lord Ramchandra, he was so aggrieved, saying that, okay, I am setting a wrong precedent for my subjects. And because he was, you know, a just king, so immediately he called, you know, Balaram. He called Lakshmanji, and then he told Lakshmanji that now you go and immediately you take. There was no time even for Sita Devi to come and, you know, meet him. Then immediately you take her and to Valmiki's hermitage, you know, and where Love and Kush were, you know, groomed like that. So that is how severe, you know, Lord Ramchandra was, you know, on that. So it was not because Sita Devi was not chaste or Lord Ramchandra doubted, but he came in that pastime as Maryada Purushottam. That's why he came as the most ideal person. And sometimes his idealness also is very difficult for us to understand. You know, his idealness sometimes, you know, is so choking, you know, like that. When you hear that, then people start crying when they hear this pastime as to how, you know, Sita Devi was sent like that. You know, and when you read about Lakshman's emotions at that time when he was given this job, you know, just like Akrura was given that job, so Lakshman was given this job. You know, so then that is heart-rending. So, so I've heard this in one of the South India Yatra lectures by His Holiness Radhanath Swami, where Maharaj is explaining that Lord Ramchandra is so humble that he will consult and take a decision. Not just because he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will take an independent decision. Actually, Lord Ramchandra need not have to consult, you know, his team as to how to go to Lanka. By his desire, Lanka would have come in front of him. You know. And by what to speak of Lanka coming, by his desire, he could have got Sita back. So he didn't have to do that, but then Lord Ramchandra is playing the role of an ideal king. An ideal king is supposed to consult and take decisions. So he's consulting his army before taking a decision. Like that. So that is the lesson which I remember. It's only Radhana Swami had mentioned this point.
So can I understand as lesson to one's association of his devotees, they can't really approach the Lord?
Yes, definitely. So we cannot approach the Lord but through the medium of his devotees. We cannot approach the Lord without developing affection for devotees. It's not only knowing acquaintance with devotees. We have to develop affection for devotees through service. Otherwise, you know, many people come and say, yeah, I know this Prabhu. Yeah, I know him very well. I know him very well. No, it's not like that. No. Unless we develop affection, we can't. There has to be loving relationships between devotees.
So, Vibhishan was loyal to Hanuman, so that's
reason. Sorry?
Vibhishan
was non-envious.
Hanuman, so that's reason.
Not only to Hanuman, but Vibhishan was a devotee of Ramchandraji. Yeah, he was never on the side of Ravan. Even at that time, it was Vibhishan who went and advised Ravana against, who said, how can you abduct, you know, Sita ji? How can you do this? You know, so he was always a devotee. But in the past time, the Praja fails to recognize Vibhishan's devotion. But Lord Ramchandra is Paramatma inside everyone's heart. He knows very, you know, he knows who is his devotee and who is not. So then Lord Ramchandra, when Vibhishan comes, he says, okay, but still he is consulting them. But he says that, okay, fine. Yes, I see the information also which they are giving him is that he is from the enemy camp. They are not saying that he is your enemy. He said he is from the enemy's camp, so be cautious. But Lord Ramchandra says that no. Because he has come to my shelter now, that is what is more important. Which means what? The Lord does not, you know, care whether which family we come from, right? Whether our family is devotee or not devotee. It is the choice of every single jiva to be a devotee or not devotee. So one can be born, you know, in a family of murderers and still can become a pure devotee of the Lord. So the lineage doesn't matter. Or the other way, one can be born in the most saintly family and not have anything to do with Krishna consciousness. That is also possible. So every jiva is unique in that sense. Okay, it's 9:15, so I'll stop here. Maybe we can discuss offline. More questions are there. Grantrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Prabhupada ki.
Jai.